pray to God, fill us with the spirit of the risen Christ, so that we might not only hear the good news of his resurrection, but live as people of the resurrection, trusting that in him we now have victory over death. Death lives no more. It has died at the resurrection. In Jesus' name we pray this. Amen. John and Anne met when Anne was only 13 years old, and John went to work for Anne's dad. And while there was a slight difference in their ages, John found a really good friend in Anne, and over the next couple of years, he found more than a friend. He found himself falling in love with this beautiful young woman who managed to steal his heart. Anne's parents were not thrilled with that little romance and did everything they could to discourage it, but they were not successful. There was a song in the musical, The Fantastics, where two parents are trying to understand why their children do what they do, and the song they sing is, "Just Say No." And the point of the song is, if you want your children to do something, just tell them not to do it. Well, these parents didn't want John and Anne together, but they certainly told them not to be together, and it didn't work. So at the first legal moment, they snuck off, this young couple, and they secretly got married and began a life together that was, from everything that I can tell, enormously happy, despite some of the opposition that the parents showed early on. John and Anne were married for many years. They had a bunch of kids, and while they were together, John's heart just sang. He would write love poems to Anne, and those love poems expressed his passion and his care and his genuine deep feeling of tenderness for this lovely young woman who had become his partner in life. They had many children, and after childbirth, for I believe it was their 12th child, Anne and the child died. And John's heart was absolutely broken. He never wrote another love poem ever again. Even though he was a man of letters, he never wrote a love poem again. His broken heart is not unlike the broken heart that we find in Mary Magdalene in today's gospel. Mary Magdalene truly loved Jesus with all her heart. We believe she was the woman at the home of Simon the Pharisee when Jesus went to dinner and a woman came and washed his feet with her tears and dried them with her hair. We believe she was that woman. And when Simon questioned him, "Why do you let this woman do this inappropriate thing?" Jesus said, "Simon, don't you understand that those who have been given much and forgiven much love much?" Mary had come to Jesus broken and found in him love and tenderness and forgiveness. And for that, she followed him as a disciple, and she loved him. And she, like the other disciples, believed that he was the one they were waiting for. He was the Messiah. He was the king that was going to rescue his people. And those hopes were dashed on Good Friday when the Romans, at the urging of the temple authorities, arrested Jesus, brutalized him, humiliated him, nailed him to a cross, and publicly, excruciatingly — the word itself comes from the cross, excruciatingly — killed him and left him very convincingly dead. At the end of Good Friday, there wasn't a person in Jerusalem or its environs, no matter how deeply they had been committed to Jesus, no matter what he had done in their life, who believed that he was the Messiah. He was just another failed prophet. And that's what Mary thought too. Because when you're dead, you're dead. And when you're crucified, you're very dead. And he was crucified and he was buried. And that's all Mary knew. He was gone. But one thing didn't die in Mary, and that was her love for him. And so we find in every one of the Gospels that Mary is going out to the tomb to be with Jesus. Why? Well, the Jews believed that the spirit of a dead person lingered around the body for about 4 days before it departed. And so Mary, on the third day, wanted to be near his spirit just one more time, just a little visit, to be close to her beloved Jesus, who had done so much for her, even if he wasn't the Messiah. She had no expectation that he would be any place but in his tomb. And she went out to that tomb. John says, while it was still dark, and in the Gospel of John, light and darkness speak to us about the inner states of people as well as the time of day. Mary was in a dark place. She was sad. She was crushed as any of us would be if the person we loved most in the world had died a brutal, humiliating, and public death. So out she goes to be near him, and then to her horror, she finds that the tomb is open and empty. And she thought probably what any one of us would have thought in a similar situation. Someone stolen the body. People don't rise. Would you go to visit your Aunt Agnes on Memorial Day at the cemetery? And if the grave was open, you say, well, Agnes must be up again. I wonder if she's gone having tea. No, people don't rise from the dead. We don't think that now. They didn't think that then. If you're buried, you're buried. If you're dead, you're dead. And when she saw that open tomb, she thought to herself, this adds insult to injury. Not only have they brutalized him and killed him, but now they're desecrating his body. Where could he be? She runs to get Peter and John. They come out to the tomb with her, and they look in, and they see exactly what she said they would see. And they go home scratching their heads, leaving her there weeping. And the word we have in Greek in this gospel for weeping is not a gentle little crying. She is sobbing. This is a sadness that wells up from the very depths of her being. She is crying her eyes out and sobbing. And as she does that, she looks into the tomb and she sees an angel. Well, probably not recognizing it to be an angel, sitting at where Jesus' head was and where his feet were, very much looking like the Ark of the Covenant. And they ask what is probably one of the most stupid questions you'll find in all of the Bible. Woman, why are you weeping? Well, the obvious answer is she's weeping. Because the one who she came to honor in death is not there, and his body has been taken and is desecrated. Where could he be? Without even giving the angel's question an answer, she turns, and in her tears and through her tears, she's aware of someone else who also asks the angel's question, woman, why do you weep? Who is it that you're looking for? Who is it that you are looking for? Mary, through her tears, thinks that she is talking to the gardener. And she says to him, sir, if you took him, just tell me where he is so that I can honor him, so that I can take him away. And her whole world shifts with one word. The risen Lord says, Mary. The good shepherd knows his sheep and calls them by name. And here he calls her by name. We don't speak to people we do not know intimately by using their first names. He is inviting her back into relationship with him. And she blurts out, Rabboni, which doesn't just mean rabbi, it means my great rabbi. And as she goes to do what's most natural, to hug him, he says, no, you can't do that right now. Because I want you back in relationship with me, but the relationship's going to be different. The relationship's going to be different because I have things to do and you have things to do. I have to ascend to my Father, and I'm in the process of doing that right now. So I can't linger any longer as I did with you before, because I am in a different relationship with you, but still a relationship of love. You're still my Mary. And he says, and you have something to do. Go and tell the others that I go before them into Galilee, where I will see them as I promised. And see, the word in Greek again, go and tell, the Greek says apostello. Mary is the first person in the New Testament, the first person in the Bible or the gospel to be sent as an apostello, to be sent as an apostle. In the Eastern Church, Mary is considered the apostle to the apostles. She's the one who sent to them. And she's sent to them to bring good news. The good news is that he is risen. The good news is that the one who died, and he was most definitely dead, lives. And he doesn't just live as a resuscitated corpse. He lives as a glorified new body, the firstborn of many brothers and sisters. His resurrection is a promise to us that we too will rise with him. It's a promise to us that all of those who have gone before us and who have died in the peace of Christ have not died permanently, because Jesus has promised that those who die believing in me live. There is new life promised in this gospel. There's new life guaranteed in this gospel. And that new life is a life that is eternal. And so the good news in this gospel, and it's the best news that you're going to find anywhere in this book, is that Jesus has conquered everything that keeps us from fullness of life in God. He's conquered sin, he's conquered evil, he's conquered pain, he's conquered suffering, he's conquered grief, and he has conquered death. So there is nothing that can separate us from the love of God in Christ. Nothing. And so when we experience grief and loss, we can say, I believe that those who have died in Christ live. And I believe that I, when I die in Christ, will be going from life to life. John, Anne's John, certainly knew that. He experienced Anne's death, and later in life he lost a daughter in her teenage years. He almost died himself in sickness. And while he never wrote another love poem to Anne, he did write more poems. He was shortly after the death of his 18-year-old daughter, when he himself came close to death through a fever, that he wrote a poem that affirms not death, but life. I'd like to share it with you. you might have heard it before. He wrote, "Death, be not proud, though some have called thee mighty and dreadful, for thou art not so. For those whom thou think'st thou dost overthrow, die not, poor death, nor yet canst thou kill me. From rest and sleep, which but thy picture be, much pleasure, then from thee much more must flow. And soonest our best men with thee do go, rest of their bones and soul's delivery. Thou art slave to fate, chance, kings, and desperate men, and dost with poison, war, and sickness dwell. And poppy or charms can make us sleep as well. And better than thy stroke, why swell'st thou then? One short sleep past, we wake eternally, and death shall be no more. Death, thou shalt die." The words of John Donne, lawyer, diplomat, priest, and great poet of the English language. Amen.